Psalm 95 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. As you find in your place this morning, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the service so far, the service in music, being able to praise you in song. But Father, we come now to the most important part of the service, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. God, speak to our hearts today. Help us to get what you have for us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle it. Now, Father, anoint our pastor as he comes with thy Holy Spirit for the task ahead. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I know you're looking forward to Thanksgiving this week, aren't you? Now, what you do not want to happen is have your taste buds quit on you Thanksgiving Day. And if your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, that's exactly what will happen. I will pray a special curse on you. And Thanksgiving Day, your taste buds will quit and you won't be able to taste a thing. So turn your cell phone off or make sure it's turned to vibrate, please. Guests and visitors, would you excuse us and get a moment? Now, if you're a clock watching Baptist like me, I have approximately 45 seconds to preach my sermon this morning. We went a little longer with the extra music, so I don't apologize for that whatsoever. But we'll run a few minutes later than usual, but I will be, as I always say, brief as possible, no matter how long it takes. But it's Thanksgiving time, and visitors and guests, you'll forgive us. In our church, we have a tradition every Thanksgiving where Pastor Johnson gets the people of our church ready for Thanksgiving by simply explaining to you the Thanksgiving meal, as it were. But I don't know about you, but I can already smell roast turkey. Can't you smell roast turkey? There's something about roast turkey. I never realized why God gave us two nostrils until I understood the principle. Oh, thank you, my brother, bringing that forward. I humbly accept this award from all the little people in my life, and actually from all the little people in my life. Thank you. What in the world? I have a platter that goes with this. That's the bad thing, you know. When you wake up Thanksgiving, by the way, all diets are off, please. Someone asked me today, Pastor, are you going to fast and get ready for Thanksgiving? Are you kidding me? I'm eating like a pig until I get to Thanksgiving. Now, we need to clear up the gluttony issue right off the bat. Gluttony is a problem. It's a sin. And gluttony is overeating by accident. In case you didn't know theologically where that falls. But if you overeat on purpose, God allows it. I'm not sure that's biblical, but it sounds good to me. You wake up Thanksgiving morning and you can already smell the roast turkey. Then they put a ham in the oven, and so they've got ham and turkey. And then you realize why God gave you two nostrils, one side for the ham and one side for the turkey. They get the meal prepared, and I don't know who started the tradition of having the Thanksgiving meal at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's foolish. You don't eat any meal the rest of your life at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I say we eat the Thanksgiving meal for breakfast. And that way we can eat some more before the day goes on instead of waiting all day long and having to smell the aroma of roast turkey and baked ham. And that makes sense. I'm on the Bible now, brother. That makes good sense to me. So then look, they're in there cooking during the day and you got the aroma wafting through the house of roast turkey and baked ham. They got that beautiful golden turkey. Do you ever wonder who thought of stuffing a turkey for the first time? Who ever thought, put wet bread in a bird's cavity, let's eat it and see how it tastes? I always wonder about that. But anyway, they got a ham baking in that oven, one of those real good hams, not on them cheap, nasty things out of a can. I'm talking a good ham now. that's got the brown sugar glaze on it, and you cut the crisscrosses through the fat like that, and you put the pineapple slices there with the maraschino cherry in the middle, and then little cloves dotted around it like that, that look like Afghani terrorists caught by a Black Hawk helicopter out in the desert and nuke with a missile. That's all bacon and going while they're in there making mashed potatoes, big enough to fill the bag of a 56 Buick. Good amount of mashed potatoes, gravy. You got all the fixings that go with it, all the salads and different. No, not the green salad. Now, may I also say this. Ladies, please forgive us if we don't pay attention to decorations. Men don't care. Thank you, brother. I got one man in this room who will stand up with me on that. We don't care. We don't care about the fact that you put that plate under the plate. What is that one you don't eat off of? What's that called? What's it called? Useless is the good word for it. That's perfect. Thank you. Useless. It's just for looks. And I always think, well, that's a bigger one than the other one. So why don't you just throw that one out and give me the big one down there. But no, you don't get to do that. The worst part of it is the turkey gets the best plate of the whole meal. They give him that great big platter. He's dead. Who cares what the turkey thinks? Give us the platter. Give the turkey a cookie sheet or something. I mean, what's the big deal? Who cares about that? So they're making the meals, and they don't make a green salad for Thanksgiving meal. Any other time, it works. But Thanksgiving, what's the point? Really? I mean, are we really care? Are we concerned about having a, you know, light green salad with a balsamic vinaigrette at Thanksgiving time? We don't care about that. There's no point in that. Now, those Jell-O salad things, those work now. The layered ones with the graham crackers and the red stuff and the green stuff and the cream stuff and everything. That works. And they make yeast rolls. My goodness, yeast rolls, those puffy yeast rolls. And they got that, and everything's bacon, stuffing, sweet potatoes. Now, some people like the organic sweet potatoes, where you buy the whole sweet potato and you roast it carefully over 3 days over apple wood in the backyard and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's all good with me. I don't care how you make it, as long as you're putting up brown sugar and pecans and marshmallows on top of it. Doesn't make any difference to me how you do it. Right out of the can, them nasty yam things out of the can, those are good too. That works. And then they set the table, and you got two forks and a fork and a knife and a spoon and a napkin. No one's really going to use a napkin. And you got the napkin and everything else. And I found out what the two fork thing was all about when I was a kid. It really isn't about a salad fork and a dinner fork. It's about whichever is your good hand and your bad hand. You put the big fork in your good hand and the little one in your bad hand, and then you can eat with both hands and keep your momentum up while the dinner's going on. So you're sitting in there eating munchies and, you know, little smokies floating in barbecue sauce and chunks of cheese and crackers and maybe some vegetables if they got enough ranch dip to kill off the taste. And you're munching away while you're waiting on dinner. And then they finally call you to the dinner table. And you gather together and everybody hold hands and you stand around the table singing the great Thanksgiving song, which is, "We shall overcome. We shall overcome this food." Amen. And then you get together. And then somebody calls on Uncle Joe to pray. Now, the problem is every year, Uncle Joe hasn't prayed since last Thanksgiving. Now, he's going to get spiritual while the food is on the table. They brought out that golden brown turkey with the little Nike booty things on them, the little white jobs. They got it all on the table, and you're standing there, and everyone holds hands, right? And then Joe starts praying. Uncle Joe's praying for everybody in the New York Times phone book, and he's praying for all the people in China by their first name and everything else. Let me tell you what's going on while Uncle Joe's doing that long prayer. Everyone else is saying, "God, kill Uncle Joe so we can get to lunch, please, if you would. God, help. Drop Uncle Joe like third period French so we can get on to meal, please, if you would." Finally, he gets done. You know, Joe, "Oh, thou God of God of God of gods and God." I said, if you don't know his name, don't even talk to him. "Oh, thou God of gods and God of gods and God of gods and gods and gods. And Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and all the Boam boys, and Jehoshaphat, and all the other fed people." And blah, 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 blah. And he's praying through all these people's names. You're thinking, "Oh, give it a rest." Now look at me. Here's a Thanksgiving prayer. "Dear Lord, thank you." Amen. Perfect. Sincere. God cares about sincerity. People, it's in here somewhere. It's in the Bible. God cares about sincerity. Just get to the prayer and get on with it. It's time to eat. You want to pray, get up in the morning and pray. Don't waste good meeting time. Want to pray for all this kind of stuff. I believe in prayer, but not during the Thanksgiving meal. Then you sit down and you start eating. Now, if they've done you right, they give you a good plate. Not with them little silly, stinking plates about that big around with a gold trim on it. Once again, ladies, we don't care. You got to give us a big enough plate to make a trip worthwhile, all right? Then you make a little reservoir over here on the side with your mashed potatoes. You fill it up with gravy, maybe throw a little stuffing on there. You get your turkey meat sliced and ready. That's good. Some people like white meat. Some people like dark meat. People ask me which one you prefer. My answer is yes. And you put that down there with some ham and some stuffing and some salad dressing and cranberry sauce. I like the cranberry sauce that's shaped like a can. I like that one. That's good. The whole natural fresh with the stuff. God bless you. I like it shaped like a can. You just cut in slices, throw that on there. And then you start eating. And, of course, you have a Diet Coke to balance the whole thing out. It helps you tremendously. You get your yeast roll buttered up over here on the side. You figure out what that little plate is for. I thought it was a catch of slobber while Joe was praying, but that ain't it. And you put your yeast roll over there with the butter on it, and then you start eating. Now, the rule of thumb is you stop eating for three reasons. Number one, you can't hear anymore. Everything is just like a bad phone connection. You should probably stop eating. Number two, your stomach cuts the circulation off to your legs and they start going numb. Then you should probably stop eating then. Number three, you can't reach the table anymore because your gut pushed you back from the table and you can't get up there anyhow. You see what he's talking about? I'm talking about one of these, ladies and gentlemen, right here. You see this? God, the Bible says has 109 references to fat. Good ones. And not one to skinny. You think about that, brother. I'm preaching Bible on it now. So about the time you're done eating, you get up and you waddle to the front room. Waddle, 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 waddle. And you plop yourself down on the couch. And then you realize why you got one of these right here. You put the remote control, fits right there perfectly. And you don't have to look for it. You just push the buttons. You can put a Coke over here, maybe a couple of chips or something to hold you over while you sit there and try to breathe. Just about the time you're done, someone says, dessert! And they've cleaned the table off, and you call AAA, they help you get up off the couch, you waddle back into the, and then they've got all the desserts out, all the different pies, and cakes, and breads, and pumpkin pie, and apple pie, Dutch apple pie, with that big brown sugar, that's good right there, and minced meat pie, or cherry pie, cheesecake. Oh my, I felt something on that one. Pumpkin bread and banana bread and any kind of bread that's got sugar in it, bread, it's good stuff. And they slice them all out and they're all there. And then they can give you that little plate to try to make you eat lunch off of. That'll work for dessert. Not one of them little stupid, you can't put anything on that. You can't get a fork on that little thing. That's the perfect time for the other plate to try to make you eat lunch off. And you just sort of arrange your slices of pie on there with your cheesecake, a few chunks of bread. Then they bring out the ice cream. Now the ice cream should come out in half-gallon carton things, the kind of like cardboard carton jobs, so you can open that. You see, that way you can scoop it out. No, so you just unwrap the whole thing and throw it right on top of your desserts. Then you put some caramel and butterscotch on there. And if you eat chocolate, I don't eat chocolate. We won't go into that this morning. If you butter it up and a little whipped cream, waddle back to the front room, and then you got your. You don't need a TV tray, people. If you did it right, you got one right here. You're taking it with you. You put the plate right down on top of there. Then you can eat. Two spoons, both hands. Then while the mist of the Holy Ghost is coming over you because you can't see across the room, the TV may be on. They may even have an 84,000 square inch television set that's so big you can see the sweat coming down their legs on a football game. But you can't see it anyway because it's about 10 feet away from you. While you're sitting there going, people are trying to talk to you. Conversational skills, it's like you're prehistoric. You can't even talk to one another. A few minutes later, someone says, sandwiches! And you get up and you waddle back into the room. They take that sliced turkey and ham and some white bread, some old nasty, cheap white bread. Not the 7-grain organic, tastes like, from prehistoric days bread. No, just cheap, white, soft bread. Mayonnaise, cranberry sauce, that comes from a can. It works perfectly on the sandwiches. You lay that on there with the turkey and the ham, some mayonnaise, salt and pepper, a bunch of Frito corn chips, and a glass of Diet Coke. And you waddle back to the front room, and you eat that. About 10 o'clock that night, someone yells for pizza, and you go at it. You say, you do that every year in your church? Every year I do this in my church. It's on YouTube if you ever want to look it up, by the way. I was preaching at a conference one day, and this preacher comes to me from New Hampshire, and he goes, are you Brother Johnson? I go, yeah. And he says, I saw you on YouTube. I said, you're kidding me. preaching the sermon. He goes, no, doing that Thanksgiving story. That's really good. I go to churches now. They say, will you do the Thanksgiving story? I said, I can preach the Bible on occasion, you know. So it's the Thanksgiving story. We understand we're supposed to be thankful. We understand that, don't we? We understand that according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, God didn't ask us to be thankful. He required it. He said, in everything, give thanks. That's what's called the imperative mode, where it's a requirement, it's a command. God didn't ask us to be thankful. God requires thankfulness. So we know that. We know then that we should be thankful. Hey, look at me. We know we ought to be thankful. If we sit down and we sang it this morning, when upon life's billows your tempest toss, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many burdens, name them. No, I think that's not that. That's the other songbook. Count your many what? Okay, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord. We know we're supposed to count our blessings. And if you count your blessings, how can you do anything but be thankful? Because we have been a greatly blessed people, have we not? And when we always have a message or a sermon, as it were, before Thanksgiving on giving of thanks. I'm going to do it again this morning, but today I want to talk to you just real quickly about understanding how being thankful affects the thankful. How does it affect you to be thankful? Look there in Psalm chapter 95, verse 2 there, would you please? It says, look at the verse carefully, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Look over probably just a page or so from you to Psalm 100, would you? And look at verse 4. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. See, to a Jew, he understood that entering, whether it was tabernacle days previous or temple days later, they understood that you came to the outer court first before you were allowed inside of that to the gate area, as it were, to be entered into the presence more of God in your life. And here the psalmist reminds them, he says, that you need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and to be thankful unto him. Do you realize this morning, dear friend, that when you are a thankful person, it'll affect your fellowship with God? It'll affect your fellowship with God. Now listen to me. Nothing affects your relationship with God but salvation. Salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, putting your full faith and trust in Christ alone for your forgiveness. Trusting his payment on the cross is your salvation. His resurrection is your eternal life, and trusting only Christ to save you in repentance of faith, you turn to Christ, accept him as your Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. And at that very moment, in faith in Christ, God gives you a permanent relationship with him. It's not earned, it's paid for. It's about the cross these young men sang about today. It's about salvation. And when you trust Christ, God gives you a relationship with him you did not have, nor could you earn on your own before that, by faith in Christ alone. That relationship is a permanent thing. Did you know something, ladies and gentlemen, that relationship you have with God, inside of that relationship are so many wonderful things. And one of them, and probably maybe the key point to all of it, is your fellowship with God. How close you get to him. You know, the Jews had it right. They had all kinds of offerings that they had to give to God when they came to the temple. Some of them were required offerings. You know, there were some that were called free will offerings. And one of those free will offerings that they didn't have to give, that they could give just if they wanted to, one of them was a thanksgiving offering. And when they gave a thanksgiving offering to God, they were just saying thank you. That was all. They weren't even asking for blessing in return. They were just saying thank you for being such a great God. Thank you for being so wonderful. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you. Sometimes, you know, you ought to thank God for what he didn't do to you and what he didn't allow to you. I'll never forget that time at a watch night service on a New Year's Eve. I was praying with a bunch of men together. One of the men was praying, and I know he was trying to be real spiritual. A lot of those prayer meetings are just people talking to each other instead of God. But he was praying away and he said, "Now, dear God, give us what we deserve." And I looked out of the corner of my eyes. All the men in the church were just kind of spreading away from this guy. He thought, whoa, God gives us what we deserve. We're all in big trouble. Amen to that one. Be thankful for what he didn't do. To be thankful for what he didn't allow. Those kind of things. See, the Jews had a right about that free will Thanksgiving offering. They just gave it to just say thank you. You understand, Christian friend, this morning, dear friend, when we're thankful, it enhances and affects our fellowship with God. Praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his children. Did you know he also appreciates thanks? Do you know why? Because I'm made in his image and so are you. And you like to have people show appreciation to you. People will say, well, I don't care if anyone ever says thank you to me. Yeah, that's nice to say, but the truth is everyone likes to be appreciated and everyone likes to have someone say thank you when you do something nice. You got that from your heavenly Father when he made you. Being thankful affects the thankful. It affects our fellowship. It enhances it. It doesn't make it any better, but it makes it sweeter on his side. And by the way, it affects you too. Well, I'd be thankful to God, but you don't know what kind of year I've had, Pastor Johnson. You just can't believe how bad it is. So when you leave this morning, my friend, are you walking out of here like they are in Israel today? Running down the streets from rockets that are coming in from terrorists? Is that you today? Are you going home like some of our friends on the East Coast who still don't have power from the last hurricane? Is that you? Some of those dear people, after the news was over, their homes are still gone. They don't have a Thanksgiving to go to. Is that you today? You don't have a home to go to this morning. You don't have that. Is that you this morning? You say, well, okay, all right. Now you're trying to put a Jewish mother guilt trip on me, Pastor Johnson. No, I'm trying to teach you. You've been blessed this morning. I don't care how difficult it is and how tough it is this morning. You should be able to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And it enhances your fellowship. There's another thing that a thankful life affects the thankful. You know what it is? I want to ask you to turn to the scriptures, if you would. Just hold your place there. But did you know being thankful affects God's will for your life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Listen, in Christ Jesus concerning you. Being a thankful person affects the will of God for my life. And here's why. Because when it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. It didn't say for everything. It said in it, while you're in it. While it's going on, while it's taking place. If you can be thankful, it shows your confidence, faith, and trust that God knows what he's doing. And it shows you that you really do accept that this is God's will for your life. In everything. All of it. Our Mary and Purcell went to her mother's funeral yesterday. They sat right there by Miss Dina. Miss Berglund went to heaven last week. You know what I say, Pastor, but she was 90-some years old. You know, she lived a good life. It was time to go to heaven. And she did. And she's a wonderful Christian lady. Not because she lived a good life, because she was a saved Christian lady. But she went to heaven. That's sweet and precious. When a saint of God crosses from this life to the next, that's a precious thing. That's a sweet and wonderful thing. But it's still a loss on this side, isn't it? It's the will of God, isn't it? But it's also true if it's a baby. It's also true if it's a young person. It's also true when it's cancer. It's also true when I lose my job. It's also true when I'm going through a battle. In everything. See, when I can give thanks, it affects my understanding of the will of God for my life. I'm not surrendering to anything. I'm yielding to God's will. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why I have to go through this in my life, and you can explain it to me someday if you so wish, but if you don't, that's fine with me, because I know God is too wise to make a mistake and too loving to be unkind. Thank you, Lord. In everything, give thanks. It shows your faith, your trust, your confidence, your submission. And did you know something? God's will, my friend, was designed for you with everything in it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How that everything's already in there, and if I can say thank you for it when I'm in the middle of that everything of God's will, it says a lot about God's will for my life. shows my attitude about him. Thankfulness enhances my fellowship because it shows me how much I love him. And just appreciate him for being my God. Thankfulness for the will of God shows me how much I trust him. How much I believe God is always right. That's easy preaching, hard practicing sometimes, but it's always right. You know how thankfulness affects the thankful? It affects my peace. You know the passage, that passage that gets on us about worrying? Be careful for nothing. Let me explain to you what careful for nothing means. It means don't worry about anything. Say, yeah, but anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, the distance, the bridge between worry and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that distance is bridged by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. A willingness, you know what prayer says when I worry? I trust God to take care of this better than I can worry about it. You know what supplication is? It's asking for the needs of someone else. Rather, I say, well, I don't worry about myself, but I sure worry about this one and that one and this life and that life. Supplicate for that person. Pray for them and trust that God can do better than you can worrying about them, asking God to intercede. And then you put the two together, prayer and supplication, with one more thing, and that's what crosses the bridge from worry to peace, and that's thanksgiving. So you see, thanksgiving affects the thankful in the peace of their hearts. I know we do it. I know we know better than to worry. Am I right on this? Okay. So you don't worry then. Is that correct? I know we shouldn't worry because there is a God in heaven. I know we know that prayer works. I know that. But when the burden comes to my life, I come from a long line of worriers. Called the human race. And I know when I pray about it, I try to put it before the Lord. But listen to me, here's how you put it there and keep it there. You got to thank him for what that is. But Father, this is such a trouble in our lives, our home or our family or our children or my friends or fellow Christians or the world situation. Lord, what do we do? I tell you what you do. You pray, you supplicate, and you attach some real honest thanksgiving to that. And then the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, for most of us, it's not a problem about praying and worrying. It's an issue of worrying, praying, and not thanking him. So thankfulness affects my peace, and it affects the peace in my heart and in my life. And also this morning, do you understand that thankfulness affects my testimony? It's a statement. You have to listen to the verse, but it says, for all things are for your sakes. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That passage in 2 Corinthians 4 there is talking to Christians going through great trials of afflictions in their life. And he said, but all these things are for your sake, not against you, for you. And he said, if many will be thankful for all the things they experience, he said, it will redound or abound or increase to the glory of God. You want to see a Christian with a good testimony? Show me a Christian who can give thanks for anything and everything in their life. They have a tremendous testimony in their life. You mean that they're actually thankful this happened to them? Not the word stuff where you say, okay, I'm thankful. Not like that. Thanksgiving that proves the submission again to the will of God issue. Look at me. Then what happens is it affects your testimony. People say, my soul. Look, most of these people in the world today, they have a little bit of problems. They start screaming their head off, complain about everything, and want the government to come and fix it, which is actually an oxymoron. The financial cliff is coming. What are we going to do about it? I say push Congress off. But anyway, the point is, isn't that a crying shame? What a crying shame is, a definition of a crying shame? Bust a little congressman going off a cliff with two empty seats. But the truth is, I'll probably go to jail for that, huh? All right, never mind. The Bible says it redounds to the glory of God. That when many are thankful, when they face what they face in their life, when many are thankful, It increases the sight, and the sight of others, it enhances their testimony that they must have a pretty great God to even be thankful in tough times. And by the way, it affects the testimony of the God of heaven. You ever watch people's faces when you're driving to church? They're going the other way, not this way. You ever notice that? You ever notice how happy they are? The only ones that are smiling big are coming out of Starbucks, because they're all juiced up on caffeine. I was in a Starbucks this week. Didn't drink coffee, don't panic. I got a buzz off the pollen in that place, brother. I'm telling you what, there's caffeine pollen in a Starbucks. You don't need to drink it. Just drive through and take a couple deep hits and keep on going to the other side. You folks in the 60s know what that is. And I'm telling you right now, hey, that's unbelievable. It's amazing how many people that you see driving the opposite direction of Shasta Baptist Church in the morning like this. Man, do they look happy. How do you look? All right, I'm going to church. What time do you think he's going to be done today? Hope he doesn't burn the roast like he did last week. We realize we get the privilege of going to a place where the Word of God is preached and the hymns of God are sung. And the things that God, you see what I'm saying? Thankfulness, it affects your testimony and it affects the testimony of God in the sight of others. We have the God of heaven as our Heavenly Father. We do. Who knows exactly what's going on, is in complete control of the situation, knows exactly what's happening. How can we not be thankful people? See, thankfulness affects the thankful. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?